週ないよ。
Hi, everybody, and welcome to 2025. It's a new year, bitches. We are the comic book queers. This is Brett, and that was evil Jeff. And we are excited to embark on another 365 days with you. Hi.
Yes, and I just want to, and in 2025, I just want to say I am a proud mutie.
Mutie, ew.
I'm wearing a mutie t-shirt.
Where did you get that cute mutie t-shirt?
I think I shouldn't say because I think they probably stole the artwork. Oh, yeah. I mean, although this is literally from, was it God Love Man Kills?
I recognize the font.
Yeah.
I recognize that graffiti. So you were wearing the Muti spray paint graffiti from God Loves Man Kills.
Yes.
Was that was that a Santa gift? Was that a Christmas gift?
No, I actually bought this a couple months ago. I think I just never wore it.
Oh, now. What a whore. So like, you never wore
that? Let me wear some X-Men stuff.
I was trying to brag into. I was trying to segue into me bragging about things I got for Christmas.
Did you get X-Men themed Christmas stuff?
I did. I got.
Tell me.
I got a desk light that will be introduced into the show. I'm going to put it on camera now. It is the classic
X-Men logo.
X-Men logo. I feel like when we do our X-Men segment in the future, we got to turn the X-Men light on, and we can say something cheeky like. The X-Men light is on, bitch. I don't know.
Or mutant level detect. Mutant detected.
Omega podcasting detected. Omega podcasting. I got.
Oh my god!
Figurines. X-Men 97
figurines of Storm, Rogue, Cyclops, Wolverine, and Gambit. Love it.
Yeah. Do you know what's weird?
Oh my god! Isn't it funny that that's basically the cast of the Storm issue?
I love it. We'll talk about that issue of Storm. And we've got a lot of X-Men books to catch up on.
Yeah.
Look how weird it is. It says Storm, Marvel's Rogue, Cyclops, Wolverine. What? Gambit. Why does it say Marvel's Rogue? Is there another Rogue?
There must be another Rogue figurine. I bet you there is a character called Rogue somewhere else.
In DC or in Star Wars?
I'm going to type this in and just see. Huh.
There's only one Rogue, as far as I'm concerned, and that's Marvel's Rogue.
Yeah, look, when I type in Rogue, she's the only thing that really pops up.
She's the only thing that pops, sugar. Sugar pops. Yeah, on the packaging of these X-Men 97 figurines, which are official Marvel merchandise, it says Storm, Cyclops, Wolverine, Marvel's Rogue.
Oh, you know what? Gambit. Maybe they have like a Dungeons & Dragons figurine or something, because there's a rogue, because you can play as a rogue.
You can play as a rogue. I know. I was Astarion in Baldur's Gate 3. I'm familiar with the rogue. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Virgin. Okay, sorry.
Okay. I think I'm just going to be angrier in 2025. How do you feel about more fighting between you and I?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm going to play the victim.
Yeah, absolutely. As
Why are you doing this to me, Brad? Why? I didn't do anything.
You know, it's just that I've got really important things to do other than talk about that as a joke. I have nothing more important than talking about movies, TV, and X-Men.
Well, for me, it's also 2025. Not only is it going to be depressing because of the world, because people are like, I want this. I just want to get through this time till we maybe get to a better time. A lot of people are saying, because part of me is like, oh, maybe it gets worse. But people are like, I just want to fast forward through Trump till things are a bit better. But for me, next year is my last year of where the whole year I will be in my 40s.
We're not going to talk about what's happening to us in our biological clocks in 2025.
I'm old.
Girl, my ovaries are shriveled.
So you're going to be mean. I'm going to be a whore. I'm going to be a slut.
Oh, I love it. We're going to be this is going to be
already
a saucy.
Slut, so you don't have to do anything different.
I resemble that remark. Okay.
All right. What are we? Oh, I think before we get into a million X-Men things, we should talk about some DC. Right.
New beginnings. I'm just realizing we're not talking about Creature Commandos on today's episode, but we will next week. Can we just say we'll talk about it next week?
Yeah, you know what? Because I'm not, I want to catch up. Is it over?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. So we'll catch up on that because there's just too many things to talk about.
The reason I brought up Creature Commandos is because 2025 is going to be the year of new beginnings for DC Studios. Yes. James Gunn has released the trailer for Superman. He's already released his first series in Creature Commandos, but it's really more that first part that you and I are going to focus on right now.
Yeah, but let me play the DC intro real quick. So before we we're going to watch the Superman trailer in a second. But first,
I read a DC comic.
Although I watched a DC trailer.
Ew. Someone, one of our listeners did, immediately when the trailer came out, messaged Comic Book Queers. Ew, I watched the DC trailer. Had a girl.
Are you ready for this?
Are we going to watch it right now? Yes, we're going to live watch the Superman trailer? Yeah, you want to see me cry? We're going to
watch it right now. Okay, are you ready? We've already seen it, so this isn't going to be like
right.
any surprises here. I'm just going to jerk off to most
we're
of
just going to, okay. I'm going to verbally jerk off.
Yeah, okay. Are we ready?
Ready. Actually, hit it. Hit it, you stupid bitch.
Hold on, I want to put the volume down because usually it's a bit too loud.
It's a bit.
Here we go.
Ice.
Ooh, the Fortress of Solitude. Superman slams down.
Superman slams down already. He's vulnerable. He's losing a fight. He's beaten. He's bloody. You know, this is not the invulnerable Superman we're used to.
The one thing that I always wonder about his outfit. Let's talk about now. Now we see him as Clark
now
Kent.
Now we see him as, he's really doing it for me as Clark Kent. David Cornizet with that moppy hair.
Yeah, he's so fucking hot. They're doing what everybody does to make someone ugly. They give him a perm and glasses.
And glasses.
Already think that makes him hotter.
The font is reminiscent of the Richard Donner Superman. The music is reminiscent of the Richard Donner.
The music is the original Superman. I will say they always, you know how trailers always do a slowed down pop song? I like they're just doing the slowed down Superman theme.
Yeah.
So I am all for this.
I allow it.
Also, it has, what's the actress, Rachel, what's her name? Who plays Lois Lane? Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, Rachel, what's her name? Moynihan? Rachel Brosnahan.
Crypto!
When I saw that giant ice thing, snow thing, oh. I was so happy. I was hoping it was Crypto.
And
we need to talk about Nicholas Hoult, by the way.
Nicholas Hoult as, we finally have a hot Lex Luthor.
And so this is the shot, this little kid in this country putting up a flag in some sort of rebellion, praying for Superman. Oh my god, Guy fucking Gardner.
Yeah, the bad guy has a Green Lantern ring.
It's Guy Gardner, you stupid fuck.
Who's Guy Gardner?
He's a DC character. It's also Nathan Fillion. Mr. Terrific. So we've got the JSA. Or something. Yeah,
I like this because this is one of the first Superman reboots where it looks like, no, all of the DC characters are in it. Well, I guess Batman versus Superman, they were all in it too, but I just want to count
who remembers
those
that?
They're so bad.
What do you think of this trailer?
Eric Voss.
Get him off! Jeff! Okay.
It's okay. I'm friends with Eric. It's allowed that he showed up for a second. What if he like?
Now we have to pay him.
I hate that it just automatically plays the next thing immediately. I didn't have a chance to stop it.
So what do you think of that trailer?
So I think it's going to be amazing.
I think it's going to be amazing. It reminds me of
because let's go over what are all the Supermans we have. We have the Christopher Reeve Superman.
Yeah.
Then we have the Brandon, was that Ralph. The next one? Brandon Routh Superman.
Yeah.
And then we have, is there any
Henry.
Other? And then, no, then there's also Smallville.
We have Smallville, we have Dean,
Lois
we have Superman
and
Lois. Lois and Clark, we have Superman and Lois, the Tyler Hoechlin one.
Which we started watching and I never finished it. And I saw a clip where they like fast forwarded through time. And like showed Lois dying and them all growing up and getting old in the season finale and the series finale.
Oh, okay.
There was that. Oh. I will say, I think I'm putting it out right now. I think this could be my favorite Superman. There's a chance that this could be my favorite Superman.
Do you think this is the Robert Pattinson of Superman?
Yes.
David Cornesweat?
Yes.
Have you seen him in stuff? Because I know him from
just that
Ryan Murphy's Hollywood.
Well, no, not Hollywood. The Ryan Murphy. He was also in... what was that horrible thing with... who's the guy from Dear Evan Hansen? What's his name?
Oh, the politician?
The politician. He with like, Bette Midler? Yeah, he... In the first season, he was the classmate that, like...
The gay one?
Killed himself.
Oh,
and they were,
yes.
like, in love, and he kept talking to the ghost yes. of him, and it was him.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So I was... I am aware of his hotness. Now, I will say, it is... Because this is the thing, is we're... is it was a rat boy... It was a brat... 2024 and it was a rat boy
rat.
2024.
Yes.
Everybody loved a rat boy face. They liked that guy from The Bear, Timothy Chalamet, what's his name?
Barry Keoghan.
But now we do have a Jacob Elordi who is really hot. A Jacob Elordi and this guy, they're bringing back the classic
The hotness. Classic handsome, the classic Hollywood man.
And for me, I also It is a little boring, but they're hot. So, but they are hot and beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
really
it's
excited.
Be great. I think it's going
to
be
great. So, Guy Gardner. Let's talk about the guy with the Green Lantern ring.
Is he a type of Green Lantern, or is he
yes,
a character
oh,
that just
much.
Stole a Green Lantern?
No,
is
he's
he
very
a
much
human
in
that
the core.
Stole a ring?
No, he's in the core. He's Guy Gardner. He's okay. been on the JLA. He's been on the JSA. He was like a big 80s. I feel like an 80s JLA character.
Guy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But he's a dick. He's a dick.
He seems like a bad guy in this.
The most famous... He could be. He's probably just a dickhead cop. The right. most famous panel is when he was on a JLA team with Batman. And there's this famous panel of Batman just knocking him out with one punch. It's like this panel of Batman's fist, like right up against the guy's face. He's getting clocked. It's an iconic DC panel of Batman punching out
nice.
Guy Gardner. Yeah.
Here's the one thing that we also have to address. The elephant in the
room. One thing
is one of the biggest things that we have to, of suspension of disbelief. I'm willing to believe that there's another planet called Krypton.
Sure.
I am willing to believe that there's all these other peoples with powers.
Sure.
The thing I am not, the hardest thing for me to believe is that someone would still wear that costume and not feel it looks insanely ridiculous.
The Superman costume?
The Superman costume, I feel in this
Wait
day
a minute.
And age, I think it looks stupid.
Haven't we moved past, like, you can't wear superhero costumes in movies because they're too stupid looking? Hasn't the MCU done away with that whole thing?
As in, like, let's just do it? But here's my thing. I think in particular, the Superman costume, I think you can wear a superhero costume. I just think it's the boringness of the red cape, the primary colors... It's not that it's a superhero costume. It just doesn't look good. And I don't know what to do about it because you can't not have it. You can't not wear it. But I also have to suspend disbelief of like, because I'm just going to say right now, if Superman did not exist and he just suddenly showed up and that was the outfit he was wearing in 2025, everyone would be like, gay. No, just
this bitch. By the way, this bitch, if you're not watching YouTube, this bitch is covered head to toe in primary yellow. This one telling me about primary colors on a Superman suit. Yellow.
Me? What? I'm just saying I don't like it.
You are.
You know, that's just me.
You would render Green Lantern's ring impervious. You're covered in so much yellow.
Ooh.
Can't it's hurt me,
I'm
Guy Gardner.
I'm a coward. That's why.
Oh,
Yes. Okay. No. Well, I think it looks great. Let's move
on. Oh, okay. Right? Okay. Great.
Is there anything else you want to talk about with this?
No, I don't. I'm so excited. Yes, there is.
What?
It seems like a lot is being taken from Grant Morrison's All-Star Superman. Like the monsters outside the window is very, very Grant Morrison, Frank Quitely Superman. And
R.I.P.
What? Did he die?
Didn't Frank quietly die? Yeah.
He did?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Oh, God.
Wait, what? And then also, it feels like Superman is about...
Oh, no, he didn't. It's not Frank Quitely. It's the other one, John Cassaday.
John Cassaday. That's right.
John Cassaday. Right, sorry, I had the wrong X-Men run.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Very close together. It seems like Superman is about the utmost good in us again, which was not what the Henry Cavill Superman was about, which is why I hated the Henry Cavill Superman.
Yeah, because and let's be... It's the one thing. If you're going to do a dark turn, it's... Superman's not the one to do it with. I mean, unless you did the full on, what was it, Red Sun?
Yeah, the Russian.
I think that the one where it's like if he landed in Russia.
Yeah.
I think that would be an interesting take. But for the most part, keep the darkness with Batman and the X-Men and Punisher. Superman is the ultimate, you know, good.
Was it Superman 3 with Richard Pryor where he became like the dark Superman? He begat like the dark Superman when he was drinking. He was drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bizarro Superman.
Yeah, it sucked. It was horrible.
Yeah. Should we talk about some other shows that we're watching?
What you watching? What you
watching? Is it me naked? No? Fine.
It is you naked.
Can you imagine if it came back and I was just...
You were fully unclothed.
We're gonna get demonetized.
Speaking of demon. Good segue.
Nosferatu.
Because we're going to talk about a little Nosferatu.
On Christmas Day. When I spend Christmas in LA, me and my friends, we always watch a movie. And then we go and eat Chinese food.
Christmas in LA.
That we created in Chinatown. And here is, like, so 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I saw... I think it was 3 years ago. I saw the Whitney Houston biopic
Nosferatu.
And then last year we saw The Color Purple musical. This year we saw Nosferatu. Did not want to see this as my Christmas movie. I was outvoted. I wanted to see Baby Girl
with Nicole Kidman.
I wanted to see something sexy. So I ended up seeing Nosferatu. All right, so we're gonna do our 1, 2, 3, whether we liked it or hated it. Are you ready?
Yep.
1, 2, 3.
Liked it.
Yeah. I wasn't like, oh my God, this is my favorite movie of the year or anything. I'm not like, oh, why didn't this happen before?
Who did? My husband. My husband raved. Loved it.
Oh, my husband too. My husband loved it.
Yeah, interesting.
I thought it was good, not going to be like rewatching it. And my reasoning for what didn't make me love it is shallow.
Is it because Lily Rose Depp is not that great an actor?
No, I thought she did fine. Oh, did you not think she was good?
No.
She was okay. I think someone could have probably done better. She was fine.
Yeah.
Here's my issue is that it's always, you know, is it Nosferatu or is it Dracula? Dracula versus Nosferatu. Nosferatu versus Dracula. The fun thing about Dracula...
So interesting.
Is that he's usually hotter. And
yes.
I think that was my complaint, is that I know what Nosferatu looks like. He's supposed to be scary. But this Nosferatu was so sexy and sexual. I was like, can we have him be hot and not scary looking if these are all going to be like sex scenes pretty much?
Yeah.
Whenever he's like taking the blood.
Yeah.
I don't want to see some ugly guy and his dick. You see his dick. His old, bony, gross, long claws. He's naked, basically sex sucking.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted him to be hotter.
It's Bill Skarsgård under there. So there's solace in that. It's so funny you bring up Nosferatu and Dracula. I've never seen the 1922 Nosferatu. And don't give me that look, everybody. Neither have you. So I didn't know. I'm watching Nosferatu. I'm like, this is Dracula. This is the exact plot of Dracula. And then I looked it up. Did you know that Nosferatu was a ripoff of Dracula? And it, like, they were sued. The makers of the original Nosferatu were sued by whoever owned the rights to Dracula at the time. And they lost. That I did not realize that they just... Nosferatu is just Dracula, except they changed his name and made him ugly. Other than that, it's the same fucking story.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big fan of the Bram Stoker, the Gary Oldman, the Winona Ryder, the Keanu. Yes. And yes. I'm like, this is the same plot.
Yes.
Instead of Keanu, it's Nicholas Holt going to the castle.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's pretty much the same thing.
But, it is.
But there, it's... And I was making all of my comparisons were to the Bram Stoker with Francis Ford Coppola,
which is one of my favorite movies ever.
I think I like that better than some of his Godfather movies, and I know that's blasphemy because I'm not a crazy Godfather.
Not person. To me, girl. I hate anything about the mafia.
Yeah, and I'm not a big Francis. I refuse to watch that. What was his new movie?
Megalopolo.
Megaflopolis.
Megaflopolis.
I love that. So this, it definitely, William Eggers, I love The Witch.
Robert.
You know, I have not seen, what's it, The Lighthouse? I have not seen that yet.
Which I have. I loved it. I loved it. At some point.
But he has a definite great sensibility. So the gothic look of everything
beautiful.
Is gorgeous. Whenever it's nighttime, it's almost a black and white film.
Yes.
And it's gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
And it's also very, very sexy. The part... Did you see the part when she has to admit to Nicholas Holt that she's fucked Nosferatu and it's all because of her? And she kneels down and starts rubbing her face
like in
his boner. You see his boner underneath his pants.
Nicholas Holt.
Yeah.
So is she. Eventually. Nicholas Holt, scale of 1 to 10, how hot do you find him?
You know what? He's one of those, he's a little too pretty. Like, I'd say objectively, he's like an 8. He's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But he is pretty for, like, he's too round and pretty and blue eyes and, like, it's just too pretty.
I will say,
a little porcelain doll.
Remember that Tom Ford movie, A Single Man?
Yeah, yeah.
When Nicholas Holt shows up in that, it is over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was like during his modeling days.
Yeah, he's like, gorgeous. Yeah. He's gorgeous. Yeah. I will say he's getting hotter now that he's getting a bit older and there's a little bit more. But he's no, like, if I'm going to pick a blue-eyed man that I'm going to croon over, it's his co-star.
It's ATJ.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Girl, that is the hottest
so
man on the planet.
Fucking hot.
On the planet. Oh, why is he married? God. He's married to a woman 23 years his elder.
Who
I'm like,
groomed him. He's been groomed. We need to save him.
He's so... But look at the job she did. You know what, honey? Groom away. If you're going to... If that's the outcome. If
that's terrible.
If that's the result, woo! Keep on grooming, Toots.
Oh, my God. Ed, we're canceled.
Oh, my God.
He is so gorgeous.
That's why we're canceled.
He's so gorgeous. I will say the funny thing is they're the neighbors that they're kind of staying with. And they have two little girls. And two little girls are like, Mommy, I'm scared of the monsters. And I was like, bye, bitch. I understand foreshadowing. I was like, I even turned to Joe and I was like, they're going to be chomp chomp. They're going to be eaten.
This is my daughter. Lunch, and this is my other daughter after lunch snack. Nicholas Holt, by the way, have you seen Juror number 2?
Is that on Netflix or HBO?
It's on Max.
Max? Okay. I did not.
It's
is
pretty
it good?
Good.
Who directed that? It's somebody kind of famous, right?
I can't remember, but it's pretty good.
Juror number 2.
I recommend.
Is it like a nice suspenseful? Oh, it's Clint Eastwood.
Oh, it's Clint Eastwood. That's right.
There we go. So, I mean, even though I kind of hate Clint Eastwood as a person, he's a great director. So, I'm sure
it's pretty suspenseful. It's a great premise. They get right into it.
I should watch that. I love that kind of shit because it reminds me of, like, what's the one where it's like all those, like, I know it's not the same plot, but like The Game and all of those, you know, like it's like a Michael, like Michael Douglas would be in this.
It's like a the 90s. The noose is tightening kind of thriller.
Yeah,
where like the hero has to get out, you know, like No Way Out with Kevin Costner.
Yes, yes,
you know,
yes.
Like it's a thriller. I love a thriller. Like
I do
good
too.
Harrison Ford,
Michael Douglas.
Like, yeah, those are
no
the
one
thriller
cares about
people.
Them. Nobody cares about them anymore. Yeah. Right now, it's all just like it's all superhero or horror is all people really care about.
Yeah, you know, it was a good thriller, Gone Girl. That was a good thriller.
Oh,
whatever
Gone
happened
Girl
to the erotic
great
thriller of the 80s?
They tried to bring it back. It was that Ben Affleck was in Gone Girl, but he did that one with De Armas.
Right.
Remember? It's the guy who did... it's a famous Adrian... What's his name?
Yeah, I know who you're talking
about. Anyway, but everyone said it was terrible.
Who made, like, Fatal Attraction, that guy.
Yeah. Because you're like, how can you go wrong with that? And then it was boring.
Yeah.
Basic Instinct. Basic Instinct is my favorite erotic
thriller. Favorite.
Oh.
Oh,
you
Fatal Attraction.
You ever fuck on cocaine, Nick?
Oh, God. Great. So that's Nosferatu, everyone. Go see it, I think.
Nosferatu. It's fun. It's super fun.
Yeah.
But what else did we watch?
Something a little bit more... on brands for the comic book queers is What If Season 3, One Final Watch, says the poster. Are you through the entire season? Are you through?
I watched the entire
What If
thing.
Season 3?
Should we give it a 1, 2, 3?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
I didn't like it. Yeah. I really didn't like it. What If continues to be a beautiful disappointment? It's not even that beautiful. I have a problem with the animation style.
It's like the animation style. I understand that, but that is not the problem. The problem is these are the most boring.
They're really just boring.
They're literally like, hey, we have a rule. We're going to do a what if, and it cannot be anything interesting.
Yeah. The finale was a snooze fest. It was a one long fight that just dragged on and on.
I'm gonna talk about that because I have another complaint of something that happened, I think, 4 times in this show. Actually, I'm going to do it now. We're going to pretend you're a bad guy. Any bad guy.
Okay.
And I'm going to be the good guy. And you are now shooting me with your powers, and I'm about to lose. Okay, this has pretty much happened 4 different times, 4 different characters, 4 different episodes. So shoot me with your powers.
Gah!
No, I'm dying. Die. I'm dying. Up. I'm pretty much dead. Wait.
Die.
I don't want to die.
Yeah.
No! And now I shoot you and then I get.
I know. All right.
They did not. There was no change of strategy. There was no change of situation. They just suddenly were like, wait.
Deep.
I'm going to dig deep and try to win. Okay, how? Why? It happened 4 different times, and I was like, stop it. Stop it. It's just... Yeah.
Yeah, I have a lot of problems with What If. Number one, you and I have talked about this. Like, could you just give us, like, what if this thing in the MCU happened differently? Like, that's what... The one episode that had promise for me was, what if the Eternals lost and the emergence
Yes, that's what
happened?
I was about to say. But then they don't really go into anything.
But then it's about Mysterio and Riri Williams.
Like, they're like, then Mysterio and Riri Williams would be the leaders. And you're like, what?
Really?
And Vision would be bad. And I'm like, but I don't see... That's the thing is, they're not doing the what if. So they're forgetting the biggest part. Because what comes after if, Brett... If, then, they're not doing the then.
They're
just doing, what if this happens? Then we're just going to make shit up that has nothing to do with the if.
What if Kate Bishop and Shang-Chi lived in the Wild West? I don't know.
Who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck?
Like, and then you're also, I mean, you're kind of cartooning it up, for lack of a better word. I'm citing the Red Guardian Winter Soldier. So, like, the Red Guardian episode, the Red Guardian stops Winter Soldier from murdering the Starks And then they go on like a buddy adventure in Vegas. I'm like, that was a murderous lunatic.
Okay. So, yeah, he's a murderous lunatic. Also, if his parents did not die, I need to see how that affects Iron Man in the future. They don't even talk about it. It is. Also, they're setting it up where it's like, oh, I thought what they were going to do is like you kept seeing these cosmic beings. Like Agatha becomes a cosmic being, like, and I was like, oh, they're all going to be for the finale, and only the Birdie character ended up showing up in the finale.
And she, Natasha Lyonne, by the way, which I liked, she was hyped up as this like kind of second coming messiah. She's going to bring about the cosmic convergence, which I can only assume is a reference to Doomsday and Secret Wars. And then in the next episode, she's just this scrappy kind of like Rocket Raccoon type.
Yeah, she's like figure. A Rocket Raccoon Phoenix.
And like, how is she bringing up forth the cosmic convergence? She's not.
She's not. Yeah, it's just so bad.
Yeah, it pisses me off the most.
I will say, watching the one with Agatha, I like the one with Agatha.
Yeah.
Where it's like, what if they were in the movies? Because I also like the idea that they were alive in the 30s.
Yeah, I like that.
Her and, wait, what's the other? Kingo. They were alive in the 30s in Hollywood or Bollywood. I thought that was fun. But then I was like, why didn't Agatha's character show up at the end?
Right.
She should have showed up at the end.
Well, she relinquishes all the power at the end.
I know, but then that's the other thing. They shouldn't have done that.
Then they shouldn't have done it.
And then the really big finale is the Watchers. They had to battle the Watchers.
So boring.
I'm sorry.
Not even Storm could save it.
I'm sorry. Do you not want... I guess it's like, you don't need me to do heroin or sleeping pills because you found the new thing that will make me fucking fall asleep.
It was just really, 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 really awful. After that long, drawn-out fight, like the Eminence... goes, you know what? Maybe I should see things your way. Okay.
Yeah. What if none of this matters? And it doesn't. Then,
like the end title was what if? That makes no sense. It was just lazy. I don't know. I don't like it. The animation is so soulless to me.
It's so concentrating on mimicking the actor's likeness that they forget to just like focus on emoting emotions.
Yeah.
I also, that one where they were the Voltrons.
Oh God, it was so bad.
I watched it with my husband and my brother-in-law, who are huge Godzilla and Voltron fans. And they were like, this is like so bad. And I realized it was like, for people that love Voltron and Godzilla and that stuff, they are going to hate this because it's a really bad version of it.
Yeah.
For everyone else that doesn't like Voltron and Godzilla, they're like, why are we for? We're going to hate it. It literally was like, no one will like this. No one. And then they had the nerve to put Storm in this. This is where we show Storm. Ugh. I'm so happy to see her.
Of course, it was great to hear her. And of course, everybody's freaking out about all the variants they flashed at the end, which honestly, I found cheap.
They started going by really fast that I couldn't see, but the ones I was pausing. Nothing seemed interesting.
There was
nothing
like Kahora,
seemed really interesting.
Kahori in a X-Men outfit, a yellow and black X-Men. I was like, okay.
Who?
The Native American character.
Oh.
They had a Silver Surfer Jubilee. I'm like, what?
Bad.
I'm
glad it's over. I'm glad it's over. If you're going to do cartoons, do something. Just go back to the X-Men, you know? Let's just live and die on the X-Men.
Well, that Spider-Man cartoon is coming out. You going to watch that?
When does that come out?
Soon. I think like
Age base? Is that for...
I don't know.
Is it for like little kids?
Or I don't know. I don't think it's like a Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
I'm sure.
Like
we'll see. I'll give it a shot. You know, I love that shit.
Yeah.
But maybe we should talk about X-Men since we've been so disappointed. Let's talk about other things that'll piss us off. The X-Men comics.
It's mutants with powers, Omega for hours. Bitch, let's read some X-Men.
The X-Men light is in the shot. It's not on because I can't plug it in.
We have 2 weeks worth of X-Men comics.
Well, we're going to talk about it efficiently because we're going to talk about them in pairs. Yeah. We're going to talk about them in pairs, yeah.
And some that are horrible.
Yep. And you know what? Ooh, maybe you can get... So we've got two covers on each slide. And I've paired them together because they share commonalities. Maybe we can play a game of like you guess why they're paired.
Well, the way they are. Be real easy.
Well, the first one's going to be real easy because it's parts two and parts three of the raid on Gray Malkin.
It's the raid of Gray Malkin.
So we've got Uncanny X-Men number 7 and X-Men number 9er.
I like seeing all these characters together, but it's a little haphazard.
What a good word.
Haphazard. But if you notice, the reason they're fighting is because they've been, it's like
influenced
to have more anger and fight. And I feel that's kind of boring.
Yeah, a little bit.
I would rather them to actually be mad at each other. Either or it builds up to where they have a reason to fight.
Right.
But that, it just feel like an exploitive way of like, we want to see them battle each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And then they have the twist of, so we've known Xavier has been in the prison. And Nightcrawler and Psylocke are kind of digging around the catacombs of the school, and they get basically taken over by Xavier and are forced to free him. What's interesting is he's not in the cell marked inmate X.
No.
He was way in the sub basement.
Yes.
So we still don't know who inmate X is, although I think the next cover for part 4 gives it away.
Oh, wait, who is it? I didn't even see.
I think it's Sinister.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to guess like Legion or Nate Gray or something.
Thinking it is Mr. Sinister.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we have not heard a peep from him.
Yeah, and I've lost track of whether he's dead, alive, in a body, what, but it doesn't matter. He's Sinister, whatever.
Wait, did he get killed at the end of From the Ashes? Now I can't even remember.
I can't remember.
All right, well, whatever. Yeah, that's
true. It got pretty convoluted in terms of, is he dead, is he alive?
Yes. This also, yeah, I did like, what's his name? Death Dream
and Magic. Oh, Death I like Dream that he's, and he's taken to magic, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. But overall, this one woman just saying racist things about mutants. I'm like, can we just fucking kill her? The captain of
Karina Ellis.
Yeah, where she's just but mutants, horrible. The scum, the slimy muty right. scum. And you're like, Jesus Christ.
Like, do you
Christ.
Have no, what happened to you? Do you have no story? No, like a mutant killed my cat thing?
Yeah, I just hate just, him?
You just don't yeah, like
so right now, I like that we don't know who who's in Mutant X and then Xavier coming out. I also like the fact that Rogue was like, we're going to free everybody. Let's free Xavier. The funny thing is they're like, we're just going to free. I thought they were just going to free their people. But then it's also like, isn't everyone in there a mutant? You're just going to let all the other mutants just be in there?
Like, what about your friends Blob, Siren, and Wildchild? They're brainwashed. They're fighting our X-Men.
Yeah, and then but then Cyclops was like, no, we're keeping Xavier in prison.
I loved that.
That was great. I mean, Cyclops honestly, like,
we're
if Storm we was there, she'd him. Be like, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
But it is, but Cyclops doesn't deserve to be free. He murdered a bunch of people. So he deserves to be in prison. He's not in prison because he's a mutant. He's in prison because he murdered a bunch of people.
Well, didn't you read, like, I think it was in maybe a Marvel Unlimited Infinity comic, but you found out that, like, he kind of really didn't murder people in that. He basically created fake people and then murdered them.
They wrote that in there.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, it was kind of like a little.
Oh no, 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 no. This is come up with better. Even Chris Claremont knew how to be like, oh, if we're gonna bring Jean Grey back, she needs to not be in that body. And
yeah,
they were fake people. Decide not to know that.
You breeze through those Infinity comics, but
I tried. You were like, catch up on them. I hate them. There's another one. There's an Infinity Astonishing with Banshee right
Gen
now.
X, yeah,
I
yeah, it's bad.
I can't get through it. It's bad. Because who was it? What's her name? Who's the girl who rips her face off?
Yeah, Husk.
Husk, Banshee, and who else? Someone else?
Skin is slated to be in it.
Yeah, nope. Yeah, this is like, whatever. Just get back to Uncanny X-Men. Honestly.
You know what? The one Infinity comic I do recommend reading is Avengers Academy.
Okay.
Because it's just a bunch of queer kids.
I love me a queer.
Escapades in it.
Oh, nice. Oh, okay.
It's
I'll
like
read that.
Escapade. It's the gay homeless Captain America.
Right.
It's fun. It's the gay kid juggernaut.
There's a gay kid juggernaut?
Yep.
Oh, if I met a gay guy and he's like, I'm juggernaut, I'd be like, I'm not bottoming.
I would.
All right. What do we got next here?
Next, okay. We have the Wolverine, Laura Kinney solo number one and Psylocke solo number two. I mean, what do you think is the commonality here, Evil Jeff?
They're killers.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Or they're also like, trying to go on rescue missions. They're like,
They're slicey women on, rescuing people. I was afraid that Laura Kinney Wolverine would just read as kind of like a same shit as Psylocke, but not as good. And that was kind of my takeaway.
Yeah.
Because the Psylocke shit continues to be good.
I'm honestly, Psylocke came out 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Let me jog your memory.
What happened in that?
Shinobi Shaw. She brings Shinobi Shaw on the mission.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he brings her into sort of like the underground of like where this kind of mutant trafficking,
right,
is happening. Yeah,
it's good.
I like that they brought Shinobi Shaw into, because they have a history. He's like newly reformed, kind of, sort of like he's not as much of a prick as he used to be.
Did he die on Krakoa? No, wait, he was brought back.
He was brought back.
But
yeah,
then he was always on his. But prior. Then remember, he was like on his dad's side, and the dad was like lying to him.
Yeah, but he was still pretty cool. He was still pretty chill, Shinobi.
Yeah, but is he more good, bad, or still? Just
yeah,
like
he's
right
fighting.
In
he's on Psylocke's side, like he's fighting against the traffickers. You know, yeah. which is great, which is really good. And then at the end, basically, she saves the kids. And then she goes home to Grey Crow and she finds his severed arm with a note that says, come find me.
And is it his real arm or was it his, I can't remember.
I think it's his real arm.
Oh, okay. Doesn't he already have a fake arm? Or yeah. What part of his body's fake?
His dick.
Jesus Christ. Is Shinobi Shaw... Who is the person that, this is just me being racist, wondering, is like, is that, no, you're like, no, that was just another Asian person. Who's the person that changed Psylocke into
Yeah,
Asian
what was
body?
His name? Because I, years in my memory, it was Shinobi Shaw.
But that's not Shinobi Shaw, right?
Right.
That was somebody else. Okay.
Right.
They also have the same hair, that kind of
yeah.
like longish hair.
Yeah, and same vibe.
Okay, that
like
is
same,
a different
It's like
person.
The same character.
What is their history then?
I don't know. But they have history. I think she used to work for him, maybe.
Okay. All right.
Let's just say that. They fucked
before
once
she was an X-Men, like before she got taken over by Betsy? Okay. Anyway, it's good. The Laura Kinney one, it's just, I don't know. It was very much like she's typing, she's getting notes inside the treehouse. And then going to save people in Dubai, mutants in Dubai.
Yeah.
It was just like very, I don't know. It's just, Psylocke it wasn't
light.
Bad, but it was like, whatever.
Yeah.
I think it was like there's no like these characters need like what's your not just like this is what's happening. What's your emotional mission? What's the emotional mission?
What are you trying to get over?
Solo
what's your
series,
personal stakes?
Like,
yeah.
I mean, look back at like Kitty Pryde and Wolverine. Kitty Pryde was like taken into and became a ninja. Like she had a growth. She became went from a girl to a woman in that like kind of series. When you're doing these short little series, the characters should have some sort of growth. This
change.
Is kind of like, no, we're just showing them fighting.
Yep.
The end.
Just showing them fighting.
All right, what's next? Dazzler.
Dazzler number 4, it ended. But Evil Jeff, I did not think this could get any worse. And then we got our villain reveal. And I thank God I buy digital copies now. Because if I had a hard printed comic book in my hand, I would have tore it apart. What the hell? It was a rogue Madrox, one that like hit on her in the Green Lagoon and she like rebuked his advances. And so he went through all
thing.
Of this.
Going back and being like, oh, remember how when Madrox makes dupes, they have different personalities and sometimes they could be evil. Great thing to go back to. For this? No.
Right. No.
No. No. And then you also just see Layla Miller hanging out with her baby.
Wait, what? I know. Why do they have a baby?
Oh, they
what
have
is
a kid
going on?
For a while.
They have a kid.
A kid for a while. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm freaking out. Yeah.
But it's just so bad. It's so bad. Sorry. I don't even know what else to say about it.
But look at the page next to it that I put up there. It's the last page of the book. Dazzler's next gig is coming soon, featuring even more special guests. Doors open in April. We're doing more of this? We're doing more?
Maybe it's be a different writer.
Is she getting her own ongoing? Is she getting a team? What's happening?
Let me take over it. I could write the shit out of Dazzler.
Let me play Dazzler. I'll pose for photos. You take pictures of me as Dazzler. You put them in a comic book format.
But it's terrible. And I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay. Sentinels and Mystique. This
oh,
one.
Oh, shit. You know what? I didn't read Sentinels. Fuck.
Wait, girl.
But I did read Mystique. Fuck. So there's just so many. There's so many. I lose track of them.
Sit down. I read Sentinels first because I think it came out a week before.
Right.
But then Mystique reveals that the Magneto that they fought in Sentinels was Mystique with Magneto powers.
Oh,
what
that's right. Oh, because she fought the Sentinels in that.
In Sentinels, they are fighting Magneto. Look at the cover.
Yeah.
These two books tie together? What?
That's so crazy.
What?
Here's the interesting thing. I will say this Mystique thing. This person who's writing, who is it?
Declan Shavley.
The idea that getting Fabian Cortez to boost your powers so that you have the mutant powers, that's smart.
Yeah.
That's clever. Yeah. That is a clever thing to do.
And it was because he was resurrected, so his powers augmented.
Yes.
And so now, yeah.
But basically she's now, honestly, well, I guess because we have Sync, we have Rogue.
I mean, she's got her daughter's powers now.
We have Rogue, we have Mystique, we have Sync, we have Prodigy. Who else? And then what's the other girl, the new girl, Jitter? What's her name?
Well, she doesn't copy. She can just, it comes from within her talents.
But she can kind of figure out any power almost or any skill set.
She can do anything she puts her mind to, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that would be a fun team of all just like, but then they don't have anyone to get the powers off.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, we have no source. So I thought that was a really interesting connection. And like, even if you look at these two covers of Sentinels number 3 and Mystique number 3, like they're just very similar in color palette. And like, I just did not expect these two books to tie as well as they did.
Yeah. Did anything else interesting happen in Sentinels?
No, not really. I still have trouble caring about these characters. I think one of them, another one, like Vovoid or something, like got taken over by that, by the machinery.
Oh, and they had to be killed?
Yeah, or something. Or they didn't kill them. I forget. Yeah, who cares?
Fuck it.
Storm and Phoenix.
this is the tie that they both connect to the X-Men teams in these.
It's just that they're women out there, you know, flying around space.
Well, but Jean Grey is talking to Cyclops and Storm is talking to Rogue, so they're each talking to the X-Men leaders.
That's right.
This Phoenix book is just hot pile of turds. Yeah. It's a hot pile of turds. And it's like Thanos. Wow, Thanos. But it's like watered down Thanos. Like, because it's not anything. This isn't like a cross book.
No.
You know, like a multi, all these different other books, because it's this world ending event. It's just her just being Phoenix. And then that other person with the sword.
Ungandine.
I don't care. It's just so bad. It's so bad.
Storm I loved.
Storm is great. I loved it. I will say, I was confused of like, you're dying. You're dying. And then the next issue, he's like, and I cured you. And I was like, okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yeah. But then he was like, but you're still dying. I see the death is all around you. Ooh.
Yeah. It's just because she's going to be getting herself into danger, you know.
But this one, she's not allowed to use her powers for 7 days.
7 days. And I want, like, this is a nuance, it doesn't matter, but, like, does she have them? Like, if she, like, she could, but she just has to not, which I think is harder than, oh, they're gone for 7 days.
And the thing that I liked is she decides to go and visit Rogue's team in Louisiana, but they decide to play a prank on Rogue and pretend that it's Nimrod. So rude.
And she destroys the whole wall of the nice man's house who's letting him stay there.
They're like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
They're like, oh, we'll fix it.
But then she can't use her power. So she's staying there just training with Wolverine, and the training sessions.
Gets a little.
The training sessions are starting to sesh, and they sesh all over. They fuck.
So Storm and Wolverine fuck. But you know what? Part of my theory is that it's because Dr. Voodoo got her so horny, because that is one hot man.
Oh, yeah.
The way they drew Dr. Voodoo, I was like, I'm the panty drip.
And Storm, we've seen her kiss Wolverine. She's been romantically with
Wolverine. In my favorite issue of all time, they kiss in Uncanny X-Men Annual number 11.
Oh, right. But that was because they thought they were about to die. But there's been, in the later, I think around Wolverine and the X-Men, they, like, dated briefly.
They did, yeah.
But it was, I don't know if it was ever established that they fucked. So here's the question for you. Was this the first time that they've fucked, or have they fucked before?
I think they've absolutely low-key fucked before.
They have 100%, yes, they have 100% fucked before.
Many times,
it was hot.
Maybe.
It was hot.
Yeah, it's always hot. That's why they keep doing it.
Yeah.
I love how adorable it is when Storm tells Rogue.
I know, and Rogue's like, oh my god, oh my god.
Oh my god, oh my god, you slept with Wolverine. Like, I love it. I love it, I love it. I just loved it, because it's our favorite characters, downtime. Those are the best
issues. Acting like themselves.
Yes.
And it's just those relationships, it's giving them interesting stakes. She can't use her powers for 7 days. And now she has to, like, go meet with Dr. Doom, the new Sorcerer Supreme. That is so much more interesting than Jean Grey's like, oh, I'm just, like, so powerful, and now I have to, like, fight Thanos? And that could be interesting. That does have stakes. It has stakes. On paper, it should work. But it's just...
Yeah. It's just not...
You know what? And the thing that they did wrong, she needed another X-Men up there with her. Like, there needed to be another character. She keeps meeting new people that don't know her.
Yeah.
There's people that don't know her.
Yeah.
There needs to be someone being like, oh my God, Jean, what are you doing?
Jean, this is not like you.
Yeah. Anyway.
The other scene I loved in this, I'm sorry, the more I think about the Storm issue, the more I'm gagged over it. The giant bird that beckons her and says, you have to go to Latveria to have dinner with Doom. And she's like, okay. And he's like, don't ask me. And she's like, can I ride you? And he's like, I fucking hate when people ask me. Everyone asks me if they can ride me. Yes, you can ride me.
Yes.
Can I ride you there? Yes, I hate you. That was so funny.
Yeah, it was great.
It's a great book.
Is that everything?
No. No, there's so much more. X-Factor and West Coast Avengers. Here, I'm going to say the connection, because this one's hard, so I'm going to take away your guessing. The connection is like, you know, teams of rookies just trying their best.
West Coast Avengers having a nice old Firestar, and then she comes on and sees there's a fucking robot on the team after dealing with Nimrod.
Girl, I love
that.
And then
fucking freaking out.
I love
this
that.
This is really fun. And I'm just going to give away the ending. We had seen already that it was like, wait, Ultron, he says he's good, but now he's like chopping the heads off of people and turning them into robots and saying that there's a new Ultron religion. That character shows up while the other Ultron on the team is still there. And then he's like, oh, that's like not
He's me. Like, I have no idea who the fuck this guy is.
I have no Which idea who that great, is. Which was great because that really, funny.
You're so confused at the end of issue one. You're like, yes. Is this the Ultron from the team?
Yes.
No, it's not. It's, so it's a different.
This is a good book.
This book is just good. And like, I think you and I are just Jerry Duggan fans. But this book
And we
is...
also find out about the Lightning character.
Blue Bolt. Yeah, Blue it used Bolt. To be called Killer Watt.
And he was working with evil Steve Rogers. What's his name?
Yeah, now the Flag Smasher.
The Flag Smasher, who was Captain Krakoa.
Yes.
So there is a lot of still X-Men tie-ins to this book.
That's
which
why
I
it's
love.
In this segment.
Yeah. It's a great book. X-Factor.
Not great. Just not great. Just
And then it's like, let's bring in this character Oscar. And let's have Cecilia Reyes, that she's now having a breakup with him. And now we're going to have him show up. And now they're together. And now they're fucking. And then they just kill him.
Yeah.
And then he just dies. He gets thrown out of a helicopter and dies. What?
Yeah.
I don't get any of this. I don't get any of it.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I hate it.
Not great. I love every line Frenzy delivered, and that's about it.
Yeah. It's just... And then Polaris shows up, and then she's like, I'm disappointed in you, Havoc. And he's like, I'm sorry. And I'm like...
It's not enough.
What?
It's not enough. It wasn't enough 10 years ago.
It's just... Nothing makes sense. Also, with things that are going on in the other books and the other, like with the other government agencies, it doesn't make sense that this X-Factor team would even exist with like the Gray Malkin prison. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Right, right.
And then they have the Sentinel, like, we need the Sentinel program so we can have like people. And you're like, what is this X-Factor? I hate it. I hate it. And then the only fun character is that Granny Smite, and she wasn't even like
in it. She wasn't even in it. So finally, we've got a look into the future. Oh, nope, sorry. We have Exceptional X-Men number 4. Also with Time Slide number 1, which you did not read.
I did not read that one. I'm sorry.
Here's why they're together.
When I saw Cable and Bishop, I was like...
Here's why they're together. So, you know, it's Cable and Bishop, so of course they go to a future... And they are happened upon by a member of the X-Men who is enlisting their help. And that X-Man is Bronze.
Oh, fun. Yeah. From Exceptional X-Men.
From Exceptional X-Men. And she talks about another member of her team of X-Men, Jitter. So it's a future where they are X-Men and they are all on one team. So that was pretty cool. I loved Exceptional X-Men number 4.
I was fucked over. I don't know if your digital one did this, but it mixed up the pages.
Oh, really?
When I was reading it, it mixed up the fight.
Oh.
With Bobby and Kitty. And it accidentally just had that page at the very end. So I was reading it being like, what? And then I was like...
Oh.
This really, why are they fighting now? And then at the end was the other panels, and I was like, fuck. So
you realize her coming, her walking through the wall, and Bronze saying they overheard her.
But yeah.
That should be the last page.
Yes. But here's the cool thing is that she was like, Bobby's acting weird. Why is he here? He's acting strange. And it turns out he is on a mission.
He is reporting back to someone.
He's reporting back to Rogue.
Yeah.
Poor just fucking Rogue just misses her Kitty.
She's just not like, she's just not convinced that Kitty is okay.
Yeah, and I love the fact that who she's not calling and checking up on is Emma. Because she could have called Emma and being like, is Kitty okay? She was like, she's with Emma. Okay, Bobby, I don't like this. Go fucking check up on them. Like, the fact that she's now with Emma is not good enough for Rogue.
Does Rogue know she's with Emma?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think but so. I bet you if she did, she still would be like, no.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, how often... know who never really interact is Rogue Emma and Rogue.
Yeah.
Emma and Rogue have, like, almost never been on a team together.
Yeah.
So Iceman shows up, but I'm very interested of, like, is Iceman... he's able to turn human again.
Yay!
Where's Romeo?
Right.
Is he broken up? Who's he fucking?
Is he fucking Emma's brother?
Yeah, is the because also the empathic mutant, what's his name?
Oh yeah, Axo.
He feels really gay coded to me.
Recess? Axo.
I can't remember. But he feels very gay coded. So I'm curious if Iceman, you know, I want some like conversations about that.
Yeah, some mentorship.
A lot of this was Emma training them, and then Bronze like going to the school play because she thinks a boy is cute, and then she ends up having to turn her powers on and off and like save everybody, and it's a lot of like that fun stuff. But the real nitty gritty is Kitty realizing why Iceman is there, and then basically being like, I'm fucked up because I fucking killed a bunch of people right as all the kids here, like she walks in.
I don't deserve to be with my friends, like I've done the thing that we don't do that makes us friends. I loved Emma in this. Like Emma as a backseat supportive character is one of my favorite Emmas. And so like just her conversation with Bobby, like Bobby's like, Kitty's quote on her way from work, huh? She's avoiding me. And Emma's like, does she have a reason to avoid you?
Yeah.
And he's like, no. And she's like, are you sure?
You know what I want? I want to have a scene. I want the Goodwill Hunting scene with Emma and Kitty, and Emma's just telepathically going, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not. And then Kitty like breaks down because it's not her fault. Here's the thing, Kitty. Yeah. You killed a bunch of people. You were in war. Like you were in a war.
You also were traumatized. Like you just escaped.
Like these people tried to murder you. Those soldiers were all going to murder you.
You have to be nicer to yourself. Like you just watched everything with a capital E burn and you escaped.
And the thing that's fucking with her is that she liked it. She enjoyed killing those people, and that's what she can't get past. But now she's taking it to the extreme of like, I'm a murderer, and you're like, girl, no, it was during war, it doesn't count.
Yep, I agree. But I love that the kids heard.
Speaking of murder, what would it take for you to murder somebody? Do you feel your life would have to be in danger, or would you go out of your way to save somebody? Like, I can understand if someone's like about to shoot you and you have to shoot them.
Sure.
But if you see someone with a knife about to like stab a kid and there was a gun nearby, would you pick up the gun and shoot them and kill them to stop them?
I would.
Okay.
I would.
Which trolley level lever would you pull?
Oh, the one that kills
if
the
you
one
don't,
person?
If you don't do anything, it'll run over 10 people.
Right.
But if you pull the lever, it'll go to the other track and kill only
one person. Yeah. But what if that one person was the person that was going to cure cancer?
Right.
Do we want to cure cancer? I'm not sure. All right. Well, this is a whole other tangent.
Anyway, I don't know what I would do. I don't know if I have the ability to murder somebody.
Really?
I'm too fragile.
I actually think it would be surprisingly easy for me.
What if it was only a knife, though? You had to, like, stab them, not a gun.
I could do it.
Okay.
I could do it. Like, I have thought of myself as a final girl my whole life, so.
Yeah. Oh, see, I'm always like, I'm the first one to die.
Yeah.
But I will say, if someone, because I'm bigger than my husband, so I am the more, like, protective one.
Yeah.
If someone did try to, like, kill my husband, I would fucking murder them. Yeah.
Yeah, I would too. Well, I hope you don't die anytime soon, because there's a lot of future Marvel events that Time Slide made us aware of.
Oh, shit.
And I have got a panel of a list of them all. So in this, I think it is Bronze that shows them sort of a list of all the things that need to happen to result in the future that she is sort of afraid of, that she's trying to prevent.
Okay.
It is a future. Going down the list, we have the eight deaths. That is currently the storyline happening in Spider-Man.
Okay.
There's a story called The Eight Deaths of Spider-Man. One Rule Under Doom, we're about
Wait,
to see
that.
Wait,
what is it? Who are the deaths?
I think it's Spider-Man dying over and over.
And getting resurrected?
I think he's got like eight lives or something.
Oh, okay. All right. So the eight deaths, how does that then connect to the X-Men worlds?
It's just, this is more about the broader Marvel Universe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, One World Under Doom, so that's with the Sorcerer Supreme.
Exactly, which we're seeing, we saw that in Storm and Avengers.
A Rise of the New Champions, that could be fun. Anything. The Eternal Storm, so Storm's going to become an Eternal?
She's going to become a cosmic kind of being, yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to have two cosmic X-Men. I honestly don't want I don't know if I like that.
Yeah.
Because once they get so powerful, like with Phoenix, it's like, what do you do with them? The False Metal.
Is that the thing happening in Wolverine with like the sentient metal being like, what is this curse? Like going after all the adamantium.
Oh, maybe. Who warms within the last egg? Is that...
Who waits?
Oh, who waits within? Who waits within the last egg? Is that Birdie? Are they going to do the Darcy and Howard the Duck egg?
I would feel that's probably more like there's one left over from Krakoa.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. That's what it is. Strange of Asgard. So Strange is going to become an Asgardian.
He's
going
to try
champion?
To fix himself because he's not Sorcerer Supreme, nor is he doing okay magically.
Galactic leaders assassinated. Sorry, who's Xavier's daughter? What's her name? Xandra?
Oh, sorry, Xandra.
Hi, Xandra.
I'm kind of hoping that's a big Billy Teddy story.
Oh, no, don't assassinate one of them. The Time of Strife. Oh, God, more strife.
No, it's not him because he spells it with a Y.
Oh, you're right. Dormammu, Invasion of Earth.
That feels like going to be big, like a big crossover.
So does anyone else deal with him, or is that mostly just Strange? Because I just know from the movie.
Mostly Strange, just Strange, yeah.
Ms. Marvel, Second Genesis. What does that mean?
I would imagine that's her power switch, and she's going to start using her mutant power.
Right. Oh, okay. Like that. Ultimate Incursion. What is
that? That's
got
to be something with the new Ultimate Universe. Like another...
Why would that even be in this thing then?
I don't know.
Who is the man with the Hummer? Oh, Hammer.
No idea. The Ghost Fist rides.
Iron Fist becomes a Ghost Rider?
Huh. Where is Spider-Man?
Okay. What became of Emily who?
Emily Light. Isn't that the girl from Strange Academy? Isn't her name Emily Light? The one that like was our intro character?
Oh, right. The Will of Doom.
That'd be cool if he dies and leaves like a last will and testament.
Oh. What's that? Utgaro?
Utopia?
Utopia?
Oh, no, it's Utgard. Utgard.
This font sucks.
I know.
Age of Revelation. Aware. No, Beware. See, I can't read any of this. Beware the Spider-Man. It looks like it's not going to be Spider-Man. Is that an M? Or is it something else?
Ooh, who knows?
Who would trade away immortality? XVX. And then what's that last one say?
The gene bomb. Something about a gene bomb.
A gene bomb.
What's XVX? I don't want that. All right, so
X-Men. Oh, X-Men versus X-Men. X-Men versus Uncanny.
Yeah, I don't know. The one thing on this list that they actually exist in for a little while is, interestingly enough, the Age of Revelation. So we do see the former Doug Ramsey in a kind of ruler dystopian. He's got a thing called Warlock drones that are like these big evil robots that speak like Warlock.
Oh, so he's gonna be
Bishop,
a big bad.
Bishop and Cable are like in the Age of Revelation for a second. Yeah, Cypher is about to be a big bad. Yeah.
I think it would have been so much more interesting if he wasn't bad, but I guess, I don't know.
Whatever. Well, he was almost the big villain of Krakoa. That was the original plan, according to Hickman.
If they let Hickman do his fucking job.
Do his fucking job. So anyway, time slide number one told us all about those events coming. But Age of Revelation looks particularly interesting.
Well, we did it. That was a fuckload of X-Men books. Most of them bad, but a few good, a few highlights.
Good. Yeah.
And next week we're going to talk about Creature Commandos.
Creature Commandos.
And any other X-books that lay across our chests.
And anything else of note and merit, yes.
Yes. What's the next big movie coming out that we need
to see?
Captain
America, Brave New World.
When does that come out? March?
February 14th.
February on Valentine's Day. Ooh.
I think, or does Daredevil come out? One of them comes out the 14th. Okay. I think it might be Daredevil, actually. Born Again.
Well, we'll be there to watch it. And you want to know why? Because we're gay. And you want to know else why? Because we read comics. Because I don't know if you're aware of this, Brett.
Oh, what?
If you read comics, well, then that makes you...
February 14th.
Is that where you were looking up?